From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deep dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today, On Deadline is looking at an urgent health crisis in America that's leaving doctors worried, a mental health crisis. Doctors warn that poor mental health can affect everyone, regardless of external circumstances. Depression, anxiety, and more comes calling for people with money, people who have good grades, people who have stable marriages and nice houses. Mental health issues also impact people without those advantages, who have few resources to help deal with them. They don't discriminate. While the COVID-19 pandemic brought the mental health issues of children and teens to the forefront, recent research has found a new crisis emerging among parents and especially in maternal mental health. Let's start with new moms. Many people who have just had a baby struggle with their mental health. In fact, the U.S. Office on Women's Health estimates that 1 in 8 new mothers experience postpartum depression. It was published in the JAMA Psychiatry Journal, and it found that maternal mental illness was the leading cause of pregnancy-related deaths in the United States. Even worse, the report highlighted that national initiatives around pregnancy-related deaths often fail to prioritize mental health. Psychology Today reports that 15 to 21% of new mothers suffer from mood or anxiety disorders, which are now considered the number one complication of pregnancy. The journal reports that signs and symptoms of depression in new moms range from sadness and inability to sleep to nightmares, delusions, and thoughts of suicide or homicide. Researchers have found that in recent years, the maternal mortality rate in the U.S. has been as much as 3 times worse than in other high-income countries. Add on to that the CDC has reported 80% of pregnancy-related deaths in the U.S. are preventable, and the situation grows pretty stark. So what can we do to help protect new mothers who are struggling? Dr. Hareen Patel, the chief medical officer for United Healthcare of Texas, joined Odyssey to give some advice.
Let's start with the maternal mental health crisis. Why are doctors saying that it is now more urgent than ever?
Well, unfortunately, I wish I had a better news to give on that, but we have 1 in 5 women who experience pregnancy-related mental health issues. And amongst those, staggering 20% face suicidal thoughts or even attempt to self-harm. So, I mean, it's a good experience to be pregnant and have a child birth, and it's a celebration. It's also important to recognize that this can be far from joyful sometimes.
The questions continue to pour out why this happens. Why do some people be affected by postpartum and others just simply don't?
Well, there are warning signs. It's one of the most common, like mental health, most common condition, you know, in pregnancy. And some women feel like they're unable or unwilling to care for their child or baby, or while others, I mean, they have negative thoughts about their child. And in more severe cases, they may experience more depression, hallucinations. You know, they see things, hear things, they get psychotic features. So in short, this is much more than just the baby blues, and it requires comprehensive approach and physician intervention.
You know, for people who, either men or, women who have never had a child, do they understand how difficult this is for women who are going through it? I feel like in society, it's been in the past a bit dismissed. Are we taking it more seriously now because we are sharing more?
Well, this has always been a concern for us. And, the mental health awareness and the stigma attached to talking about it, recognizing it, seeking help, and getting that fear out of you is always a challenge for the patient. I think the more education we do, more outreach we do, that's always the best thing we can do for these patients.
What should husbands or fathers do to help or to spot symptoms that the mother of their child might be going through something like this?
Well, I would say that you can start with familiarizing yourself, like with emotional challenges that can occur during pregnancy or postpartum phase. It's like knowing what's common and, you know, what's more serious. It's also very helpful. You can also talk to your healthcare provider so they can assess the situation and give you the guidance, like this new treatment we just talked about, like postpartum pill or infusion in IV, if that's beneficial for you. Secondly, it's also okay to talk about how you're really feeling. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, when it's really tough, I mean, you need to, when you're feeling these issues, it's just like how you talk about headache or back pain. Go and talk about it. When we open up, we make it easier for everyone to seek the help without fear. And finally, keep an eye on how you're really feeling emotionally and not just physically. Because changes in mood, like subtle changes, change in energy level or getting certain thoughts are subtle clues that you really need to seek that extra care. So keep a diary of the feelings are also helpful and suggested.
When we talk about treatments for postpartum depression, there's this new pill now that is able to be prescribed to certain women. What is it addressing? Is postpartum solely a chemical imbalance? Is it hormones? Or is it also environmental because you're having sleepless nights and a crying baby and the stress of it all?
I would say that these are the stressors and there is a hormone called GABA, that imbalance that some of this thing get lead to. So we had been exploring treatment options for postpartum depression, and it's important to understand the benefits and side effects of some of these medications. I'll talk about a couple. One is called Zulresso or Brexanolone. It's like an IV infusion for 60 hours, and that was approved by FDA in 2019. Last year, we got another one. It's called Zurzuvi or Zuranolone. It's a pill that you take for 2 weeks. So clinical trials have done on this Zurzuvi pill, and it shows that it begin to improve the benefits from the, you know, the improvement from the depression symptoms within 3 days. But of course, like any other medication, you will see some side effects. It's important to know that you can get lightheaded or dizzy, you get drowsy, you feel excessively tired. Some of these things are side effects from this pill. It also has some warnings around your ability to drive or engage in certain activities. So while you're on these medications, you want to be aware of these side effects. And finally, the breastfeeding moms, especially, you know, if this is happening in postpartum, this medication hasn't been tested yet. So I would suggest that speak to your mental health or healthcare expert and also check with your health plan to see if it's covered.
Younger generations are struggling more with their mental health than previous generations did, according to numerous studies. Research shows that that's partly due to the impact of social media. According to the American Psychological Association, the use of social media excessively by teens and adults may increase feelings of anxiety and depression. However, this is a problem with a solution, according to Dr. Kaveri Subramaniam, a developmental psychologist and professor at Cal State LA. She shared with the American Psychological Association that the impact social media has on someone is dependent on several factors. I think they really depend on who the user is, how they use it, and their particular demographics, Subramaniam explained. Dr. Zeeshan Khan, a child and adolescent psychologist, joined Odyssey to share more on how the spread of global issues on social media may be impacting our youngest generations and their mental health.
So just how bad is the mental health of kids? We knew that this was an issue during the pandemic and then a little bit post-pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. The mental health of adolescents and young adults and children as a whole has been on the decline, especially since the pandemic. And it's only getting worse, mainly due to those reasons that you were mentioning, especially with how frequently kids are forced to kind of deal with their own mental health issues because they can't access the help that they need.
I'm wondering, is it because they have so much information at their fingertips on social media so they can, whether they look for it or not, they are exposed to politics and climate change and things that go wrong internationally?
Absolutely. Social media often has an impact on, you know, a person's mental health, causing depression and anxiety. These kids are being exposed to cyberbullying. Kids are oftentimes comparing their lives to others, whether it's their peers or influencers. They're exposed to inappropriate subject matter, political unrest throughout the world, which can be extremely, you know, stressful. And if it's not properly managed, the amount of social media use that these kids are exposed to, it can also have an impact on their physical health.
I feel like it's a losing battle to try and control how much social media the kids are going to consume. And also, you can't help, everyone compares their life to whatever they see online, because that's what that is. It's almost virtual narcissism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very, very difficult, when it comes to our personalities in general are just adept to, you know, comparing what our situation's like to others. And when they're exposed to this constantly, you know, on these Instagram feeds and other social media, you know, platforms, it can be very, very damaging to one's mental health.
Okay, let's get down to what we as adults can do to help them out.
Absolutely. I think that first off, it involves parents being as available as possible, taking time to ensure that they are interacting with their children. You know, especially nowadays, it's very difficult with parents having to, work multiple jobs oftentimes, as well as relying on devices and social media in particular to try and entertain and occupy their children. So spending time, quality time with one's child is extremely beneficial.
An important thing that we should all remember is that mental health solutions are not one size fits all. We may want there to be one, but there isn't a pill parents can take to make their stressors dissipate. The cost of daycare, mortgages, the stresses of working and taking care of another human being, even getting dinner on the table, arranging schedules around sporting events, helping with homework, and maintaining social ties, I mean, it's all exhausting. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy recently addressed this when he released an advisory late last month declaring parental mental health an urgent public health issue. To share more about the stress American parents are facing, Fox News' Eben Brown joined Odyssey.
So is it a problem that's getting worse? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, it certainly hasn't gotten any better, right? You know, parenting has always been stressful, but there have been added stressors to parenting over these past few years, whether it's COVID, whether it's the economy, and how this affects family life. And so the U.S. Surgeon General is kind of putting the word out, saying, you know, parental stress is something that needs to be addressed to make sure parents are staying in good mental spirits. And that it doesn't affect their physical health because, well, the nation needs its parents to take care of its kids.
Yeah, and even just, I'm not speaking as a parent now, but just as someone like all of us who survived the COVID thing, that was a very stressful time for everybody. But then if you're a parent, you got the responsibility for the kids as well.
Well, yes. And of course, during COVID, especially depending on where you were, if schools were locked down and you couldn't send your kid to school, there was that stress. A lot of parents of special needs, all of a sudden, parents of special needs kids found themselves not able to get their kids the services that they relied upon because those services are often supplied through school systems and whatnot. So those things were added, had added stress. But let's talk about the past couple of years more specifically, where earnings have been lower, inflation has been higher, costs are higher, and parents are wondering about how to get the bills paid, get the food paid for and whatnot. All of that adds to stress. And then you put that on top of everything else about parenting and running a home. And even, you know, from my own life, just, you know, last night I was ready to go to bed, realized the dishwasher hadn't been unloaded and refilled. And you go, my goodness, why couldn't this have gotten done? Now, it only takes you, 10 minutes to do. And it's easy to say in that vacuum, okay, you know, it's only 10 minutes. But when it's just, you know, when it's just one more thing to do, that can be the thing that just drives a parent to really be put off there. So, and of course, stress, as you all know, is not good for your physical health. It can lead to heart troubles and shorten your lifespan, and that's no good for raising your kids.
So what can we do?
Here we are.
What can we do? Did everybody take up pickleball, or what can we do to relieve the stress?
Well, a hobby or something to relieve stress is never a bad idea. But, I think one-on-one, you need to pace yourself. You need to perhaps maybe share tasks with your spouse, your co-parent, whatever the case may be. You need to maybe if the kids are old enough to start handling household tasks and whatnot, that's something that can help take the stress off. But also you have to remember that these things can be addressed policy-wise, maybe at the workplace where, jobs can be more lenient to people with kids when they need to go do something that wasn't planned for, like a sick kid or whatnot. You know, one of the things we learned during the pandemic was how to work remotely.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of employers have made their employees come back to the office, but why not the ability to have a bank of days, almost like sick days? where you can work from home because the kid is sick and you're not sick. You could be working, but you have to stay home with the kid who has to stay home from school. So maybe on those days you get to work from home. That would be a stress reliever, especially if you're the type of employee who is paid hourly and has no paid time off, no personal days, right? Because you're out money if you don't go to work.
No matter what your age is, or your economic bracket, or your family situation, if you're struggling with mental health issues, having feelings of anxiety or depression, please remember that you're not alone. If you're having suicidal feelings or emotional distress, you can always call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. You can also chat with mental health professionals online at 988lifeline.org/chat. The line provides 24-hour confidential support to anyone who's in need of it. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thank you for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.